You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It may not be the happiest of Mondays, but we have things to discuss, and it's an unfortunate scenario. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. I am on different ground, as you may be able to see. I don't know. It's a little blown out behind me. I don't have a light. If you're watching, if you're listening, I will describe it. I am at the Viv Hotel in Anaheim, California. My intention was to come to California regardless so that I could Disney. You can see, if you're watching, maybe you've got California Adventure behind me over here. You've got Disneyland proper over here. So it is a little bit of R&R situation for me, as it is after every bowl game. But nonetheless, we do have a game to get to. And unfortunately, despite being more than prohibitive favorites against TCU, Michigan did not get the job done against the Horned Frogs in the College Football Playoff semifinal in the Verbo Fiesta Bowl. First off, let me say what a top-notch operation the Fiesta Bowl is. It didn't have a lot of fluff like the other bowl games do, which is something that I actually normally like, is a lot of the activities. Just so many activities generally. I think about the Peach Bowl. That's why we had Gary Stokan on, the CEO of the Peach Bowl, about a month ago. But the Fiesta Bowl doesn't really have a lot of that, and Michigan didn't partake in a lot of that. And it didn't seem to make any kind of difference, right? So that's an issue. It's kind of an odd game in the sense of, in a lot of ways, it was players making bad plays, players not making plays, coaches making terrible decisions, and then kind of Murphy's Law happening from there. So let's just go ahead and start in at the beginning of the game. It really seemed first play of the game from offense. Donovan Edwards rumbles for 54 yards, really feels like, okay, that this is going to go really well. This game's going to be that type of game. But then Michigan can't punch it into the end zone, go for it on fourth down at fourth and two at the goal line, and do exactly the thing that Joel Klatt had said do not do. Said Michigan does not need to get cute in this game. And yet, for some reason, Michigan decided that the best thing it could do was get cuter than it has been all season long. Did not need to have some kind of weird get the ball in Colston Loveland's hand so he could pass it to J.J. McCarthy. You're on the two-yard line. Hand it to your running back. If you don't get it, you can live with that. More importantly, get points. I thought that set the tone for the day. I think that kind of made it pretty evident, like, okay, yeah, things aren't going to go Michigan's way. I thought it was an awful play call. I thought it was a terrible decision. I asked Jim Harbaugh very haphazardly, I think is the best way I can put it, about the decision to go for that and do it the way that he did it. And Jim Harbaugh said, you know what, if I could do it over again, I obviously would not make that choice. But of course, he did, and they had to live with the consequences. Defense came out great. Three and out right away. After that, Michigan gets the ball back and then pick six. TCU's on the board. Bad decision by J.J. McCarthy. And that was one of the two themes that we saw. A couple really bad plays by J.J. McCarthy. Two pick sixes. Take away one, it could be the difference in the game. But it obviously never really got a chance to figure that out. But the two pick sixes, it's one of those things that when you have a quarterback like him, you have to understand that you probably are going to get the good and the bad together. That was kind of the situation for J.J. McCarthy. With trying to force in some throws. He obviously had one really good one to Colston Loveland. That was somewhat ill-advised, but it was a completion. He's a gamer. You're going to have a few of those still. 22 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on the year. So it was still a overall good year, just one kind of bad game. But J.J. McCarthy, despite the J.J. McCarthy taketh away, J.J. McCarthy also giveth. He was also the reason why Michigan remained in that game. Certainly it wasn't the defense, and again, we talk about the play calling and all of those things. Jesse Minter had his worst game as the defensive coordinator of the Michigan football team. It seemed like he was bringing a lot of heavy pressure, and I know at times it worked, but TCU, much like Ohio State, is the type of team you need to keep in front of you, and I thought that the game plan would be relatively similar, and it was absolutely completely different. I don't really understand why they decided that pressure was the best idea. They never really completely got home. A couple times, twice literally, they were bringing Max Duggan down, and Max Duggan was able to sling the ball to somebody for a touchdown. That is why you keep everything in front of you. The second half adjustments never really quite came to fruition. As a matter of fact, they did okay in some respects. Michigan did win the second half. That's a consolation, but that's kind of more of what happened offensively. Let's get to the next part. That is also a key element in the game, which was the bad call for the overturning Roman Wilson's touchdown. I don't see why they overturned it. He certainly did not have possession until he was in the end zone. It was called a touchdown on the field, and they overturned it. Ball never hit the ground. That, to me, was a clear touchdown. Very next play, Michigan handing off to Kalel Mullings. I know some of my colleagues have issue with handing off to Kalel Mullings. They're afraid of the fumbling. I don't have that much of an issue with it in the sense of he's been your short yardage back. He got you a couple touchdowns in the Big Ten championship game. He's had a whole month. I think that is fine. It felt kind of more like the handoff just kind of didn't work. But it was still a miscue. And ultimately, when I look at some of these miscues that they had, whether it's the two goal lines in which Michigan didn't score touchdowns or score at all, or the two pick sixes, that's anywhere between, even just being generous to TCU and taking away, say Michigan kicks a field goal instead of doing a touchdown, you're looking at 25 points. That's a 25-point swing by Michigan, right? Because they should have had at least 10 points on those two goal line drives. And then they should have not had the two pick sixes. Even if he just throws interceptions instead of pick sixes, completely different ball game, right? So that made a big difference. Yeah, Michigan still battled back. It still ended up being a 6-point game. The Wolverines were certainly very close. You know, they had the ball in their hands with an opportunity to win the game, and that's the important thing. All right, let's move on. We've got more to talk about this game. There's other issues certainly that I want to get to. Other things that went well. Other things that went bad. We will continue our little postmortem of the Michigan-TCU game here in just a moment. But before we do that, listen, as a small business owner or a hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. Listen, LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools. They go beyond resume data by using insights from your job post company and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them for fast and for free. All right, my mind doesn't work in Michigan. It still doesn't work in California. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications, all on one platform. Listen, you want Michigan to achieve its goals in 2023, even though we're going to have to wait what feels like an eon to get there. But you know what? You can achieve your goals even faster than they can by going and finding the right candidate to help you do exactly that. It is why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. Listen, LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to, and they do it faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. Well, I am on the rooftop of the Viv Hotel in Anaheim, California, with Disneyland behind me. I can see, I don't know what they're calling it, I call it Edison Field. I can see Edison Field over here, Saddleback Mountain over here. I don't know that you can't see the ocean from here, even though I'm 12 floors up. Anaheim's a little bit inland, just a little bit, enough to where, you know, that's the case. here. I'm excited to be here in California, see my dad for the first time in 6 years, go to Disneyland the next couple days, and just get the general R&R that I get at the end of the season. But we will have a podcast every day, regardless. I will be here all week. I don't leave California until Friday, but we will be chugging along. Interesting side note, I went to Downtown Disney last night. Obviously, the Rose Bowl is today, and walking around Downtown Disney, it was like for every two people that I saw wearing any regular shirt or a Disney shirt, I saw one person wearing a Utah shirt or hat or something like that. The Utah fans are down here in force. Penn State, I did not see a single person wearing any Penn State anything. So the Utah people are at least excited. Who knows where the Penn State people are staying? Maybe they're all at Universal Studios up in Hollywood or, you know, Universal City, whatever you want to call that up there. Anyway, so obviously it wasn't just the two offensive issues that went wrong. There was just a lot of very questionable things that happened in the game. Certainly the game ended on a whimper, and it Michigan even still almost got a reprieve, and obviously it should have. Targeting became an issue in both the playoff semifinal games, and neither of them called. I was just as aghast watching Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State get his bell rung, as they say, because that was another targeting, it appeared. I mean, maybe that was more of a football play. I didn't watch it in slow motion. I just saw it when it was on. But the Colston Loveland one, they showed the replay multiple times in the game, at the end of the game. I mean, the TCU player lowered his helmet to make the hit. Doesn't matter where you hit, that is targeting. Michigan should have had one more opportunity. Whether they deserved it or not is a different discussion. And it just seemed apropos for the game as it was itself that the game for Michigan ended with an errant snap by your Remington Trophy Award winner in Olu Oluwatimi, who has not made a mistake like that all year long, where he snapped the ball too early, J.J. McCarthy not expecting it, looking over to the sidelines. Awful, awful scenario. But that, again, was indicative of what happened to Michigan in this game, and it was unfortunate that it had to go out that way, that Olu Oluwatimi, who looked very despondent walking off the field, that he is going to remember that for the rest of his life, right? But ultimately, it does feel like, Michigan did not take TCU seriously enough in multiple facets. Again, got too cute. You are Michigan. All you need to do is go up and play your brand of football. And then they decided they were going to play some other brand. I don't know what that brand was, other than it was, we were going to out-cute TCU, who is going to have some things like that. The 3-3-5 actually worked really well against the Michigan offensive line. So credit to that troll who was on YouTube all week long saying things about it. Now, it wasn't just that it was a 3-3-5. It was a little bit of Michigan seemingly being very confused all game. TCU just plugging those gaps a lot. Michigan wasn't really smart either in the idea that it was going to keep running up the middle when the outside was there for the taking. The few times that they ran Donovan Edwards outside, it generally had success. The one of the plays, he got only 2 yards. He kept on running outside, but there was a moment where he would have cut up field. It would have been a good play. J.J. McCarthy hit a lot of really big plays, but he also missed a few. There was a zone read where he handed off to Donovan Edwards. I think it was for a five-yard gain. But if he would have... No, it wasn't that play. It was a play where he sat back in the pocket and he's looking, he's scanning. It was a third down. He threw it. It was incomplete, I believe. If he would have just looked in front of him, he would still be running at this point. And that was in the first half. So there were a lot of moments like that where there were missed opportunities. And TCU, credit to them, even though they made a lot of mistakes themselves, as Jim Harbaugh said after the game, and obviously we all saw, they took advantage of every opportunity that they got. Michigan, every time that they got an opportunity, they cut the game to a one-score game multiple times, despite being really, really down. It really felt like they were starting to take control of the game. And then next possession, TCU scores a touchdown. Again, some of the coaching questions that I have coming out of this game. The personnel groupings. Right after Michigan cut it to a one-score game for the first time in the second half, They have a personnel grouping which featured Cam Good, Jimmy Rolder, and a couple other players that I can't remember offhand. Those were the two that stood out. When it felt to me like you need to be smart and have all of your best players. This needs to be the best defensive stand you have had all day, all year, because this is the moment you can take the game back and really start to drive the point home that you're the better team. They didn't do that. Again, getting cute. I just felt like that was the theme for this game for the Wolverines. So it is one of those things where I think that they'll learn from it. It's a hard lesson to learn. It's a hard timing for you to learn that lesson. But they're going to learn it. And it is really disappointing because I think everyone's going to take a look at what Georgia was against Ohio State and recognize that this really could have been the year. Michigan really could have been national champions had it just done the things that it had done all year long. And certainly there's a lot of, as I put in the beginning of one of my articles, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Certainly you wonder what this game looks like with a healthy Blake Corum. And just honestly, just being smart, playing the type of game that they had played for the most of the year, but yet that's not what they did. They decided to do something completely different in a lot of ways. And they paid the price for it. So, but the good news is the nucleus of this team is going to be back next year. And it really does feel like there's no reason that they won't be back again next year, the final year of the four-team playoff before it expands to 12. And let's get to that here in just a moment. Before we do, BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, news, stats and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to college bowl season to basketball, World Cup, which that's over, but you know, we've got it all at betonline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I drove to Anaheim yesterday. I decided that I wanted a road trip. I've been yearning to be on the road, driving the desert since I moved back. I used to love the trip from LA to Vegas, LA to Palm Springs. And I made an audible in the last moment, and I ended up driving down kind of south of Phoenix over to Yuma, taking the 8 in. And that was an incredible, and it was a different experience. I don't know if any of you have made that drive. And for a minute, I was like, did this Uber driver who suggested this to me, did he lie to me? Because like, it was just like, it was not a lot of mountains, you know, necessarily in the background. It was just flat and desert. I mean, granted, I enjoyed the desert part. Once I got past Yuma, suddenly I'm like, oh, why is there smog? It doesn't seem like there's enough people. Turns out it's sand. I drove through, I mean, it seemed like a, I don't know if I can call it a sandstorm, but it kind of felt like driving through a light sandstorm at times, where all you could see was the brown of sand blowing, and there's these sand dunes on either side. So it's like little hills and stuff going all over the place, all sand. Everywhere you look, sand. It felt very post-apocalyptic. It was insane. It was incredible. And then it was just really beautiful. Felt like very Californian. You could see Mexico in the distance, and you know, you had green, you had palm trees and everything like that. And then I approached these mountains, and it looked like they were built out of the Thing from Fantastic Four. They were just all boulders, and I was like, this is really cool. What little did I know, as it was beautiful and sunny as I got started climbing up the mountains, and I don't really like driving up mountains that I have never been up. Because you don't know what to expect, and you know, you've got, you're switching back, and people are flying by, and I'm like, don't want to take this that fast. There's cliff on the other side, you know, do something, you know, make a wrong move, you're dead. So I was being very cautious, and then I got up there, and it started downpouring, and it continued for the next 30 minutes, and I was in the mountains for the next 30 miles. It was a harrowing, white knuckle driving experience. Couldn't see anything in front of me, couldn't see the car in front of me, and don't know if there's a twist, a turn, an up, a down, I don't know, nonetheless. Let's get into the good news when it comes to Michigan and its future. Now, we don't know who's going to come back yet, who's going to leave. Those decisions have yet to be made. Seems to be a lot more smoke about Blake Corum returning for his senior year, which is not unprecedented. And certainly now that NIL's a thing, I mean, you know, our friend Jake Butt came back for his senior year. Jordan Lewis came back for his senior year. Both were considered to be at worst third round draft picks at the time. So they both came back. And now you have NIL as a factor, and it sounds like there's a good chance. I don't know what the percentage would be, but it sounds like there's a good chance that Blake Corum returns for his senior year. So you might be running back Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, which is best possible case scenario. The offensive line, despite it losing Oluwatimi for sure, I would imagine Ryan Hayes, I'm pretty sure he's as good as gone. And then one or both or maybe none, but probably one of Trevor Keegan and Zach Zinter. You still have a lot of guys that can do the job. You have guys who are already on campus that can do the job. Not to mention you have all of these players who you just brought in via the transfer portal. I would expect Ladarius Henderson to start, Drake Nugent to start. And then you've still got other guys that, like Raheem Anderson that you've been waiting on that you feel like could be really good. Reese Atterbury is another one, obviously. Giovanni Elhadi, Jeff Percy. There's all of these guys. There's riches of talent there. I think that there's just a lot that can go right for this team on either side of the ball. You're going to bring back most of the really good, important players. You're going to lose probably Mozzie Smith. You're going to lose a couple guys, but there's still enough there at every position group that you feel like, hey, they can run it back. The schedule, it certainly looks good. And you know what? J.J. McCarthy, he said after the game, we'll be back, I'll promise you that. He walked off. It was the only question he took, and then he said that essentially and walked off distraught from the circumstances. It's the first time that we talked to J.J. McCarthy after a loss. Donovan Edwards, after every question that he was asked, ended it with, but we will be back. I felt a little manufactured, but J.J. and Donovan both watched TCU's celebration. It felt a little bit more manufactured than last year. But nonetheless, they have the pieces to do it. They have the schedule to do it. They have the will to do it. What they do when they get there, that's another thing entirely. But they have everything that they need. And the schedule, again, is very favorable. And now, if you're out there hating on those guys for saying we'll be back, just quit. I understand. This game didn't go the way that you thought, the way that you hoped. But that speaks to the expectations of the Michigan football program at this point, right? Last year, it was all gravy. Once they beat Ohio State, everything was gravy. This year, yes, they needed to win. They absolutely needed to win to establish themselves as the elite of the elite. Now, they haven't quite done that. You make it back a third year, it kind of does have the same effect, however. So now you're essentially, instead of winning one game and establishing yourself as that, now you've got to do it again for another year. And now you've got to really push in recruiting, show, and there's lots of different things that they can do here with what the success they've had, but they still have to continue to push. They still need to figure out a lot of things. At the same time, next year, and another colleague pointed it out, I put it on my my Big Ten, I think I'm about to get sprinkled. We're going to wrap this up. The sprinklers just went up in the bushes next to me. anyway, Michigan is the only team out of all the contenders that's returning its quarterback. Alabama, no. Ohio State, no. Georgia, no. Penn State even, no. So really, Michigan is in a prime spot to be able to go and achieve its goals next year. Unfortunately, them returning to spring ball is going to feel like, pitchers and catchers reporting, where it's like, oh, great, now we got to wait all year. I'm sure fan enthusiasm won't be quite so high until they actually take the field for the first game of the year. That's, you know what? Welcome to Ohio State's world. You know, welcome to, you know, last 2 years, Alabama's world. Welcome to a lot of other teams' world, where the only thing that matters is a national championship. Michigan, you've done enough to get to that point. So that is actually a good thing. It's a great thing that they have those expectations. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We are going to be back on Tuesday. We'll talk about I did 10 too early bold predictions. I posted that on Wolverine's Wire. You can read up on it now if you want to. It's up there. But we'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll be inside most likely. I believe it's supposed to rain every day that I'm here, which I probably only rained 4 days in my 4 years in Southern California, and it's supposed to rain all 4 days here, just like it did in, when I was in Phoenix. Rained every day except day one. So there it is. Anyway, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you soon. Peace.